All right, thank you very much. And hello, dear radio friend, how in the world are you? You doing all right? Yes, it's your friend Dr. Cook. I'm glad to be back with you. I look forward to these times when we can share from God's Word. We're doing our little wrap-up review of the book of Colossians. And we just now moved into chapter 4. He says in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That means toward unsaved people. Redeeming the time. Had you ever thought, dear friend, that goofing off the job has an effect upon people that you would like to win for Christ? If you do less than your best on the job, if you do less than your best on the job, it does have an adverse effect so far as your testimony for Jesus Christ is concerned. So he says, remember, a wise Christian testimony makes good use of time. Now, I can't tell you why that is so, except on the face of it, it appears to be so. But Paul, under the guidance of the blessed Holy Spirit, tells us that an effective Christian testimony toward unsaved people oftentimes is connected with the way we use our time. I think it would be a good idea for many of us to keep track for a few days of everything that we did throughout the day and how much time it took us. For many years, I've used a desk notebook that's called a day timer. It's put out by an outfit by that same name. I think they're in Allentown, PA, if I'm not mistaken. But that has the day broken up into 15-minute segments, so that if you're a lawyer or a professional person or whatever, you can cost your day out in terms of what you did for that particular 15 minutes. And if you're going to bill a client, obviously, you have the proof of the amount of time you spent with the client. Now, I'm not advocating that for everybody, but sometimes it's a very good idea just to check up and see how you are using your time. What is the average length, for instance, of your telephone conversations? You don't have to talk forever to get a point across. Have you found that out? You can save yourself some money on your telephone bill, and you can save a lot of time if when you're going to call up somebody, you think ahead of time, say, what am I going to say to this person? What do I really want to talk about? Now, I realize there's an exception in mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. We just call up and we talk because we get lonesome for each other and we want to talk to each other. I realize that. I was criticizing my dear wife of 50 years and more about the length of her conversation with our three daughters. She looked at me right in the eye and she said, "Dearie, let me have one sin, will you?" Oh, yes. What I'm talking about, however, is a lifestyle of making the best use possible of the time God gives you. Every one of us has as much time as everybody else, 24 hours every day. There's a little book, I think it's out of print now, so don't ask me where you can get it. I got it many years ago. It's called On How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. And the man points out the fact that we do waste a lot of time. He said, instead of reading the paper in the morning, save it until night after supper. In the morning, he said, think about something constructive. Lay out your day. Spend the extra minutes you do have in thinking about something constructive. He says, if you have to walk to the train, if you're a commuter, on the way to the train, think about what you're going to do. Lay the day out. He said, if you have a substantial length of time to ride on the train to get to work, he says, use that time to do something constructive. He said, a half hour morning and night spent on any given subject will give you the equivalent of PhD in that subject in 12 years. I can't prove that the man was right, but it does sound reasonable. A half hour morning and night, that's an hour a day, in other words, on the train, that you spend on any given subject will make you the equivalent of Dr. Philosophy in that subject. Ken Taylor, our dear friend, who has given us the Living Bible, started that process, I have been told, when he was commuting between Wheaton and Chicago. on the Chicago Northwestern Railroad, and because he felt the need of something that was simple and compelling from the scriptures for use in his own growing family, he began to make this paraphrase, which millions of people now have read with great profit, the Living Bible. But he started in his commute on the train from Wheaton to Chicago. At least that's what the people have told me on a number of occasions, and I believe it to be true. In any case, you can use those moments. And the way you use your time is in itself a testimony to the kind of Christian you are. Redeeming the time, said he, buying up the opportunity is the paraphrase that we use to explain that expression. Buying up the opportunity, because he said in another place, the days are evil. You won't have this chance again. You can't go back and do it over if you miss it. And so he says, buy up the opportunity. Another thing that makes your testimony effective is what you say. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. The combination of Christian vocabulary is God's grace and common sense. God's grace and common sense put together give you an effective vocabulary, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Make a habit of praying momentarily before you answer a question or before you engage in a conversation, even before you answer the phone. You don't know who's at the other end of the wire anyway, do you? It may be somebody to bless you, or it may be somebody to unbless you, as we say. So whisper a prayer before you open your mouth. Be sure brain is in gear before engaging mouth, somebody has said. Okay. He said, let your speech be always with grace. God's grace in your voice. God's grace on your lips. God's grace in your vocabulary. There are numbers of ways to say things. Some wag said years ago, as I recall in my presence, he said, you can say, when I look at you, I lose all sense of the passage of time. Now, that's beautiful, isn't it? You could also say, your face would stop a clock. And that is not really so impressive. There are numbers of ways to say things. Let God lead you to say things with grace. There is a loving, kind, gracious way to say anything that has to be said. By the way, if you're a supervisor and you have to correct somebody, don't come raging in and saying, why in the world did you do that? How stupid can you get? Instead, say, now the next time we want to do it this way. Manage by expectation, by objectives, by expectation. You get along so much better, and use gracious words, not the words that grate on you. My favorite deacon in Philadelphia days when we were just starting out, John Houtkamp, used to say, some are born great and some have greatness thrust upon them, and some people just grate on you. And I guess that's true, isn't it? Well, you and I don't have to be that third kind of person. Our words can be gracious, loving, thoughtful, helpful words. And he says, then, he says, if your speech is with grace, which means you depend on your blessed Lord for every syllable, and if it's seasoned with salt, which means you use the common sense God gave you, you'll know how to answer every man. People are important. The last thing that we'll say about this is that people and their ministries are important. He mentions Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. He mentions Onesimus, the runaway slave who was converted to Christ and who was sent back to his master, a saved, born-from-above individual. Aristarchus and Mark. Mark was the quitter who got rehabilitated thanks to Barnabas and his big heart. Justus, who belonged to the Jewish faith, who had now found freedom in his risen Messiah. Epaphras, who was one of you, he says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. His claim to fame was that he was a prayer warrior. And Demas, the one who left because he loved this present world. And Luke, the beloved physician, who took his doctor's skills and brought them into focus within the framework of a missionary ministry. Nymphas, who held a church in his own house. Archippus, who had a God-given ministry, but who was in danger of neglecting it and needed to fill it full. People are important. Stop to think of the fact that God has put you in a world surrounded by certain kinds of people, not all of whom are pleasant and not all of whom appreciate you for the wonderful person you are. But there they are. Remember that they're important. They're important to God. They're important to you. And their help is needed, and their criticisms are needed, and their guidance and suggestions are needed, and all of the combined impact of their lives is part of God's combined plan to make something out of you, beloved. Now, some of you are working for a boss whom you think is just impossible. Remember, God allowed you to be there for His glory. Ask Him for His strength and guidance and blessing in that impossible situation. Some of you are in domestic home situations that are very painful. Nothing seems to be going right. Everything you say and do is taken the wrong way, and you're just about to give up. Look heavenward, beloved, and trust your blessed Lord. People are part of what God is using to do a work in your life. Let Him do it. Today, as you interact with other human beings, would you whisper a prayer and say, "Oh God, make this contact to be a blessing." When you enter into a room full of people, whisper a prayer before you open your mouth to say hello to anybody. Just whisper a prayer. Say, "Lord, make me a blessing to this crowd. Oh, that's been such a help to me." Ordinarily, I'm embarrassed to come into new groups of people and all of that. I'd just soon sit in the corner and sulk. But oh, what a blessing it is just to whisper a prayer and say, "Oh God, I don't know these folk, but make me a blessing to somebody." And there with poise and with the sense of God's touch on you, you can go into a new situation and interact with people on His wonderful, gracious level. You try it for yourself. Dear Father, today we just trust Thee to make us the kind of people whose testimony is real, whose life is believable because Jesus is running it. In His name I pray, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just listened to Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help contribute to this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6313. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.